Good evening. What an incredible last few days we've had. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve service with 70 people in attendance, where we had the opportunity to get our hearts centered for Christmas and the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Richard had the opportunity to serve with his son, Adam, and today I get the opportunity to serve with my son, Austin. Dan, I just want to thank you for that. As I sit in my recliner and watch TV, notice, I said my recliner, men, who here has a chair they call their own, right? Everybody has that. As I was saying, as I sit in my recliner, I watch TV, and it amazes me how good some of these actors are. Not only are they in a character that is so believable, but the lines they must memorize each show is just amazing. I did a small blurb for our company where I was filmed, and it must have taken 20 plus takes for me to get my lines right. I had the hardest time remembering them. And here, week in and week out, getting new lines for each show, these actors just get it right. Now, I know they have bloopers, but not to the extent I did. Their craft is such where they must memorize their lines and deliver them with precision. So what is our craft? More specifically, what is your craft? What is my craft? Well, one can say there are or were a teacher. Maybe you were a nurse, an electrician, an entrepreneur, a safety coordinator, a warehouseman, maintenance worker. You get the picture. I want to challenge every one of you today, including myself, that what you do or did for employment is not what you were designed to do. Oh, God has provided you with employment and with a variety of skills, but I still contend He did not design you for that purpose. I contend God designed us for the purpose to be one with Him, to have fellowship with Him, and to multiply, reflecting His image with free will to love and serve Him. In other words, to bring Him glory. We often talk about that we were created to bring God glory. But what exactly does bringing God glory mean? Glorifying God means to recognize, honor, and reflect on His infinite worth, His holiness, and His majesty in all aspects of life. We don't add anything to God's inherent glory because His glory is complete in Himself. But we acknowledge and display His glory through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. The Bible provides clear guidance on how to bring glory to God. We must do everything for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This applies to everyday activities, work, relationships, leisure, etc. Intentionally honoring God in all of them. We must live a life of obedience and good works, Matthew 5:16. We must bear spiritual fruit through union with Christ, John 15:8. We must praise, worship, and thank Him, Psalm 86:12. We must trust and depend on Him, even in suffering, Romans 4:12. We must enjoy God as our greatest satisfaction, Psalm 16:11 and 37:4. So, what are some practical ways in our daily life we can glorify God? We confess sin and repent, love God and others, use your gifts to serve, honor Him with your body and mind. These are all wonderful ways to honor and bring glory to God. But how do we remember to do these things? How, when something goes wrong or someone wrongs us, do we bring glory to God? How, when I'm depressed or filled with anxiety, do I get out of it and bring him glory? How do I function day to day and bring him glory? Well, yes, we must dig into God's word. He has given us a roadmap. We just have to find it and follow it. Most of us don't carry a Bible around with us, so we can search through it in time of need. So then, how do we find this? How do we do it? Deuteronomy 11:18 says we are to lay up these words of mine, God's, in your heart and in your soul. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. In Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Folks, we are called to write God's word on our hearts and in our soul. That is how we remember to do things and to act the correct way, to call upon the Lord. We are called to memorize scripture. Oh no, not memorize scripture. Look, I'm horrible at memorizing scripture. But that doesn't matter. We are all still called to do it. When Kelly and I were first married, we memorized the book of James, and then we started to memorize Philippians. Then life got really busy, and for me, the memorization stopped. Start up again as we spent 25 years in our children's program where memorization was rewarded. We still talk to former kids clubbers who thank us for challenging them to memorize scripture. We did it through repetition, through games, and through song. We have been told that they know the order of the books of the Bible because of the song they learned. And that's how they find it. To this day, they sing the song to find the book. This evening, I'm going to share with you 5 key reasons to memorize scripture. The first reason is to resist temptation and sin. Scripture acts as a spiritual weapon against sin. We just need to use it. When we memorize scripture, we can counter lies with truth. The perfect example is when Satan was tempting Jesus, Matthew 4:1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Deuteronomy 8:3. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Deuteronomy 6:16. Excuse me. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Deuteronomy 6:13. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. You can't help but notice Jesus quoting scripture to thwart off Satan. What a beautiful example Jesus gave us. Side note, I was talking to Austin, my son, about what I was speaking about today and was sharing this passage with him. In our discussion, Austin asked me to do if I thought that Jesus knew scripture or did he have to learn it. Mind-blowing. You know, I never thought of that question. Was Jesus born with scripture already memorized, or did he learn it? I mean, didn't he write it? for my sake, I want to say he learned it, because that means I can also, since Jesus, learn it, since Jesus was man. But then there is the divine nature of being God, so then he knew it. However, for our sake, he was fully man, so I believe Jesus had to learn it. We see this when Jesus was 12 and was in the temple. Luke 2:40-52. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Born to us as human, Jesus grew not only in his human body, but in his human mind. He is quoting from the Old Testament Deuteronomy. I have said this before, and I'm going to say this repeatedly because it is true and so overlooked. We must know the Old Testament because it brings light to the New Testament. Thank you, Bob Morris. I am currently reading through the Bible, and I'm in the Old Testament, and I am constantly reading scriptures that appear in the New Testament. The Old Testament explains the New Testament. Don't just get caught up in reading and studying the New Testament and memorizing just the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has taken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I remember when I came across this verse, as it was one of the first verses I memorized. It has helped me so many times over the years to run from temptation. When I look back to a temptation I succumbed to, and I apply this verse, I can always 100% see where God has provided a way out, and I failed to take it. God's word is true. You can bank on it. So if you are currently in sin or are struggling with a temptation, memorize key verses that deal with your sin or temptation. With temptation, start with 1 Corinthians 10:13. Anger, James 1:19-20. This was another one of my first verses. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. If you're dealing with anxiety, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Not only does scripture memorization help us fight sin, but it also renews our thinking. It directs us to thinking how God intended us to. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Memorizing scripture reshapes our thoughts, which in turn leads to godly perspectives. Romans 12:2 tells us we are to reject worldly patterns and embrace inner transformation. Paul has presented a contrast between two forces shaping a person's life. The first is not to conform to this world. The Greek word for conform is schematazo. This implies being pressed or squeezed into an external mode, like fitting into society's temporary fashions, their values, or pressures. In other words, trying to keep up with the Joneses. This world refers to the fallen sinful system opposed by God, such as pursuits of selfish ambition, materialism, immorality, and pride. Paul warns against passively allowing culture to dictate your thoughts, behaviors, and priorities. He is calling us to not blend in without critical discernment. How many of us know we shouldn't do something, yet we do it anyway, and therefore we conform to the world? Don't think you haven't, because I contend we all do. Why do you think we have advertisements? Yes, because we conform. Our flesh wants us to conform. But Paul is saying we need to resist this conformity. And how do we do this? By memorizing scripture. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We need to focus on what is pure and true. We can start this by memorizing short passages of Beatitudes to build habits of meditation. Now, when I talk about meditation, I'm not speaking about Eastern meditation, where you're supposed to clear your mind, but I'm speaking about biblical meditation, where we fill our minds with God's word and his truth. We slow down and seek to more fully understand the meaning of God's words and feel their significance in our soul. In biblical meditation, we pause and ponder God's words without hurry. We chew on the truth communicated by the words of God. We don't just keep on reading at the breakneck speed at which our pixelated screens are teaching us to read. Meditation pauses and slows down and seeks to deeply ponder the truth of God's word and sense its weight upon our heart. It intimately acquaints us with Scripture. Matthew 5:11 is a good one to memorize. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Fight against the world by memorizing Scripture. This renewal isn't just internal. It guides our daily decisions, which brings me to my third point on why we need to memorize Scripture. We memorize Scripture to guide decision-making and to provide wisdom. In a world full of choices, we are constantly bombarded with decision-making. For some of us, we are not fond of making decisions, and we find this difficult. We spend so much time weighing the options and getting counsel that sometimes you may be thinking it's because we don't want to make that decision. This is where Scripture comes in. I had the wonderful opportunity for 35 years to have the best spiritual leader I know of in my life. And when it came to decision-making, my father-in-law, Paul Rohart, taught me the following. Number one, the world of circumstances. What is going on around us at the time? If we lose a job, for instance, and there aren't any jobs in the area, the world of circumstances may dictate that we move to where there are other jobs. The second point is the witness of the Spirit. What are those folks in our lives who have grown to trust? We've grown to trust them. Saying, what are they saying we should do? The third point is the Word of God. When we go to Scripture, what is God's Word telling us? We need to know the Word to apply the Word. Y'all know Kelly and our family adopted Dominic and Natalie. Before we did, we had choices we needed to make. At the time, Kelly and I were just being foster parents. We didn't have any desire to adopt. But then the world of circumstances led us to consider adopting Dominic and Natalie. DHS had put them up for adoption, and three families came forward with a desire to adopt them, but they only wanted to adopt one of them, and we made it clear they needed to be adopted together. Since none of the families wanted to adopt them both, we were back to square one. Well, this happened a second time, and it was at this time the witness of the Spirit came in. Our children came to Kelly and me and said that they wanted us to adopt them. They had grown to love them deeply, and they wanted them in our family permanently. Wow. That should have been a no-brainer. But for me, it wasn't. This was not in my plans. Kelly and the kids were on board, but I wasn't, because I have the view of what my world should look like, and the adoption wasn't in the plan. Kelly asked me to seek God and to spend some time in prayer. This is where the Word of God came in. Remember I told you that when Kelly and I were first married, we memorized James and started to memorize Philippians? Well, this verse came back to me as I was seeking the Lord's guidance. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You see, I was being selfish. I was only thinking of myself, and thankfully, my children and my wife were thinking of others. I had no solid reason to not adopt these children. I truly believe this is what God wanted us to do, and I can tell you it has been one of the best decisions I have ever made. Yes, we provided love, a home, stability, and a Christian environment, but they have given me circumstance after circumstance to become a better person and to be closer to God than I would have ever been had they not been in our lives. I couldn't imagine a life without them. They are truly mine and Kelly's children, and Ashley, Austin, and Aiden's brother and sister. Beyond decision, Scripture brings comfort when life gets hard. During suffering, anxiety, and pain, memorized Scripture will provide comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive, ourselves receive, from God. God comforts us so we can comfort others. We have all been in circumstances where we needed God's comfort, and because of these circumstances, we can reach out to others and comfort them. I can think of no further example of this when I think of George Dant. Here is a guy who could not get his life straight. When others tried, it maybe worked for a bit, and then he'd just go back to his addictive ways. We would see the Coulters or Gordy reach out to George to help him, and finally, through their efforts, the Lord got a hold of George, and because of his addictions and overcoming them, he's been able to reach out and comfort many others who are in the same place he used to be. If you are in one of these times and need comfort, or know you may be in one of those times, here are a couple of verses to memorize. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Finally, memorizing Scripture equips us to share God's truth with others. 1 Peter 3:15, but in our hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared. Are you always prepared? When you get a knock on the door and you open it, and standing there are two young gentlemen with a white shirt and a tie on, are you prepared to speak with them and to give an answer? If you're like me, you shoo them away with the excuse that I don't have time. Or you quickly say, I'm a Christian, and then you close the door. It's those times when I most likely forgot my morning prayer when I asked God to bring non-believers in my life. And he did, but the two young men in a tie were not what I had in mind. Maybe you're like me and you lack the confidence to speak with them. Folks, that is Satan speaking to you. We have the Holy Spirit, and in our conversations, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead, he will remind us of Scripture we have memorized and meditated on when we most need it. We just need to trust him. 1 Peter 3:15 is not a suggestion. It is a command, and we need to heed this command and be prepared always to give an answer for the hope we have. Folks, this takes practice. And you may not get it right the first 10 times you try, but with practice you will improve, and you will be more confident and assured. Not because of you, but because you have learned to lean on the Holy Spirit. If I may, I would suggest you study and memorize and practice the Roman road. Romans 3:23, the human problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8, Christ's sacrifice. God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, 9 through 10. The response. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10:13, the assurance of salvation. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 5:1, the result of salvation. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, Romans 8:1, living in the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Always be prepared to give an answer. So why do we memorize Scripture? We do it to resist temptation and sin, to renew our minds and promote spiritual growth, to guide decision-making and provide wisdom, to find comfort and hope in trials, and finally to share the gospel and encourage others. January 1st, 2026 is just around the corner. This is where resolutions get made. Some people are big on making resolutions. Others, not so much. Do you know if you memorize one scripture a week at the end of 2026, you will have 52 new verses memorized? Multiply that by 10 years, and you would have 520 verses memorized. Don't look back and be depressed because you don't have hundreds of verses memorized. Look forward and start memorizing. Maybe you do one verse every 2 weeks or one a month. The point is, start memorizing. Maybe you start with the Roman road. Maybe you are struggling with something in your life and you need to memorize and meditate on verses specific to your needs. Do it. Just do it. The point I'm making is for 2026 and beyond, let us at Shepherd's Gate make hiding God's word in our heart a priority. I'd like to close with a story. My oldest daughter Ashley introduced us to a Christian artist, Leanna Crawford. Leanna has a song out that you may have heard called Still Waters. Still Waters is a song Leanna wrote about her 103-year-old grand Aunt Maureen. Aunt Maureen had been a missionary and led Leanna's mom to Christ. When Maureen was in her 40s, she was facing blindness, so she memorized about 90% of the Bible. Leanna met her Aunt Maureen when her aunt was 103 and Leanna was in middle school. Aunt Maureen profoundly changed Leanna because of her joy and deep knowledge of Scripture, realizing the Bible was a living resource for every situation. Leanna uses Psalm 23, especially, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," as a personal anchor for anxiety, which was a sentiment Maureen embodied. The song encouraged listeners to internalize Scripture, to write Scripture on your heart for strength, just as Maureen did. When you get the opportunity, look up Leanna Crawford and Still Waters, and remember 2026. Memorize Scripture. Thank you.